Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is an RNZ podcast.
Hello, I'm Simon Morris. It may come as a shock to movie fans from France, Germany and Great Britain that theirs is not the most distinguished film industry in Europe. That honour goes to Italy, and not just because it leads the pack in winners of Best International Oscars. Italian films have scored an astonishing 14 of those, including 8.5, La Strada, The Great Beauty, and naturally Cinema Paradiso.
Alfredo!
Sì, sì.
Puoi partire.
In addition, Italy made the first epic blockbusters long before America's Birth of a Nation, which generally claims that honour. Post-war neo-realists like Roberto Rossellini pioneered shooting on location, while Sergio Leone achieved the seemingly impossible, selling westerns back to America. Leone, Fellini, Antonioni, Bertolucci. Italian filmmakers all seem to have a sort of operatic passion. And this week we welcome back the popular New Zealand Italian Film Festival. Director Paolo Rotondo talks about this year's selection of art films, retro classics and crowd pleasers. But first, coincidentally this week, an Italian-directed romance with just about the biggest star in the world right now, Zendaya, in Challengers.
You can beat him.
What if I don't? How are you going to look at me if I still can't beat Patrick Zweig?
Just like this.
Director Luca Guadagnino has had a glittering career, first in Italy and then internationally. From the literary I Am Love and the terrifying Suspiria to the intimate gay love story Call Me By Your Name, there seems nothing he can't handle. Is he the Italian Stephen Frears? So why not a romantic triangle like Challengers?
Hi.
Hey.
Surprisingly, Challengers isn't actually an Italian production. It's entirely homegrown American, produced by two Hollywood industry figures, old and young. One is former Sony head honcho Amy Pascal, and the other is star Zendaya, who plays a tennis champion called Tashi.
Tashi Duncan. She's going to turn a whole family into millionaires. She'll have a fashion line, a foundation.
Tashi came up the hard way from poor beginnings, but by the time we meet her, the world is her oyster. And two young tennis players working their way up, rather more slowly, are starstruck when they meet her.
You were incredible today.
Thank you.
I mean, it wasn't even like tennis. It was an entirely different game.
Hey, come hang out with us later.
Want me to come tuck you in?
No, we just keep talking.
Art and Patrick, Mike Faced and The Crown's Josh O'Connor, could afford to go to a private tennis school, but it doesn't mean they're not both fiercely competitive. Who's going to win the challenge tonight?
We usually have different types.
So you're saying I should be flattered?
Aren't you everybody's type?
Come here.
Which one of us?
And not just tonight. The competition between them goes on for years, with the film flashing backwards and forwards in time, while the fortunes of all three go up and down. Patrick is the glamorous bad boy. Art is more the slow and steady type. And the scenes we linger on most are that first meeting and the bitter final playoff, winner takes all, many years later.
You think that tennis is about expressing yourself, doing your thing. You don't know what tennis is.
What is it?
Of the two, only Art seems to be taking it seriously. But for Tashi, taking it seriously isn't necessarily the point of a competition. Not in the early days, at any rate. She's a tennis player, and this seems to be the ultimate tennis match. Until suddenly it isn't.
He's not in love with you.
What makes you think I want someone to be in love with me?
It's nice to see you lit up about something, even if it's my girlfriend.
Just as Tashi closes in on the number one slot, she has an accident on the court and breaks her leg badly. She knows that means the end of her tennis career. Or is it? Both Art and Patrick know she understands the game better than anyone. With her in their corner, either challenger could become champion.
What are you going to do now?
Unfortunately, my only skill in life is hitting a ball with a racket.
I want you to be my coach.
I want you to be my coach.
How often does this happen? Going after the same girl?
In most routine eternal triangle stories, audiences usually have a pretty good idea of the outcome. No matter how much the star couple seem unsuited and how attractive the romantic third wheel may appear, we can usually guess who gets who in the end.
Art's got his coach, Tashi Donaldson, who also is his wife.
I'm playing for both of us, Tashi.
But smart filmmakers, like everyone involved in Challengers, including writer Justin Kuritsky's, realises audiences like to be kept guessing more than that. The blueprint was a French new wave film called Jules and Jim, which, like Challengers, kept putting off the decision. Here, decent but insecure Art offers stability. Flashy risk-taker Patrick offers excitement. Which one do we choose?
I think maybe we're disturbed by the fact that she could have been into someone like me.
When we were teenagers.
When we were teenagers.
Hey, I love you.
I know.
The one we choose, of course, is Tashi herself, who, as played by Zendaya, is by far the most appealing character, partly because she can't make up her mind. And Challengers isn't about happy endings or endings at all. It's about what keeps top tennis players going. Game after game, set after set, match after match, tournament after tournament.
This is a game about winning the points that matter.
I don't need to play my games with you. Come have a cigarette with me, I have to talk to you.
I don't smoke, and I'm not talking to you.
Making the film better than you'd expect, especially for non-pro tennis players, is how it's directed by Luca Guadagnino. The way he drowns out boring arguments with Trent Reznor's punchy music. How he switches the point of view in the matches, at one point daringly from the ball's point of view, is often dazzling.
You don't know what tennis is. A relationship. We went somewhere really beautiful together.
But the performances are the point. Young, playful, self-centered, sexy. Star Zendaya is now queen of the world, and this is why. Her model good looks, her passion on the tennis court, her refusal to back down. Right now, she's the most interesting thing on the screen.
Let's go! I'm taking such good care of my little white boys.
I assume you planned this?
Not this part.
One of the great things about winter is the parade of national and international film festivals. And first out of the traps is the sunniest and some say tastiest, the Italian film festival, Cinema Italiano. It's distinctive in other ways too, unlike most festivals which open all over the country on roughly the same dates. Cinema Italiano is a road trip travelling the country and personally hosted by the festival co-founder Paolo Rotondo, or as we must call him now, Cavaliere Rotondo. Paolo was recently knighted for his services to the arts, and the Cavaliere joins us on the line from Hawke's Bay. Benvenuto, Paolo, and congratulations.
Grazie, Simon. Buongiorno a te a tutti.
This is clearly a big deal. I mean, how much warning did you get about your new title?
I think they had to vet me first, so they asked a few questions in case I was dodgy. but luckily I came through.
The festival is unusual, as I hinted in the introduction. I mean, travelling around the country throughout the year rather than opening all over the country in July or August or something, which most of the other festivals tend to do. But you do it one city at a time, don't you?
Yeah, I have to credit my partner and, you know, co-founder Renee Mark, because she had this idea. She said that, you know, festivals are an event. Cinema is an event when you go there. And if you can turn up and be at the openings and actually be involved with the community and meet the audience, it creates that atmosphere. And it has proved to be really, really nice. And I've learned so much about the Italian community around New Zealand. But also, I get to travel all around Aotearoa and go to these provinces that are hungry for culture. And so they're very, very welcoming.
Tell us about this year's selection, because it looks a very strong one.
Yeah, I mean, that was another thing that we tried to do, Simon, is that I feel the responsibility as an Italian Kiwi to represent Italy well and fully. And so I really strive to get the best quality films. So we've introduced classics and documentaries. You know, they've got this beautiful film about Giotto dreaming the Renaissance.
Now, Giotto is interesting. He's the one guy that people don't know so much about as far as the Renaissance is concerned. But according to this film, he's the guy who basically kicked it off.
The thing with Giotto is that he started to do all the things in art and design and in frescoes that then became emblematic of the Renaissance. And so you see for the first time in history the use of perspective. And if you think about it, that's such an amazing revolutionary moment when somebody in 2D, just with painting, can create something accurately in 3D. I mean, that's mind-blowing.
The fact is that Italy and the arts are absolutely entwined, and you've got some brilliant arts films here, some dramatised, some documentary. The one I'm most interested in is Caravaggio's Shadow. The famously scandalous Caravaggio, who turns up quite a bit in the latest Ripley TV series. He's this dark painter who's famously a murderer as well.
He's the rock star, sort of bad boy artist of the Renaissance. And he's my favourite because, you know, I'm a filmmaker, Simon, so when I look at his paintings, I see the beginning of lighting. He's very cinematic in a sense. But this film is a dramatization, and you see all the artworks, but they were actually allowed to film and use some of the real artworks of Caravaggio in the making of this film.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, no, looking forward to that one. In addition to that, there's a documentary about Versace, which I can tell you has more celebrities per square foot than any other film, I imagine.
Well, he's a perfect example about how Italy's, you know, historical patrimony is kind of active in the present. I mean, if you think about Gianni Versace, he draws on Greco Roman style, Byzantine art, Renaissance, and yet he's at the cutting edge of modern fashion. That's really important in terms of our cultural history is part of our innovation as Italians. You know, so when you see the design of a Lamborghini car, it's because of that cultural history. It's that dates back 2,000 years. It's not separate from it. It's not an innovation breaking away. It's actually part of that long history.
I think that you're right. I mean, I think that when we think of artists, we tend to think in terms of a genius doing it quietly to one side, but they're all very much part of the Italian tradition that goes through their films as well, including Fellini. I see you have Fellini's first film in this collection.
Oh, my gosh, it's so charming. I didn't know this film very well until last year. I'm a big fan of Eight and a Half, and this film, Eight and a Half, is very intellectual and very sophisticated and brilliant. But this is kind of Fellini having a laugh and being a crack-up. And he was a cartoonist before this. And it's a really wonderful comedy. But the thing I like about it, it's a film from the 60s, but it talks about celebrity culture in a way that's completely relevant to today.
This film is called The White Sheik, isn't it? And it's about filmmaking as well as the story itself, isn't it?
It is indeed. And so it's kind of about falling in love with filmmaking as an art form from Fellini's perspective, but it's also about the artifice of filmmaking and about the artifice of celebrity. It's a woman who idolizes this great actor, and of course he can never live up to it. Like the modern, like the Kardashians or the royal family or any pop star of nowadays, we sort of imbue them with qualities that they cannot ever possibly live up to.
Looking at other film greats in here, you've got a film called Order of Time, which is made by Liliana Cavani. And the most distinctive thing about her, frankly, is the fact that she's 91 years old and still doing brilliant work.
Yes, I'm really proud of Italy for it not being so ageist. I mean, they're always looking for the young up and coming, but they also honour their masters. And so, you know, not only Liliana Cavani with The Order of Time, but also Marco Bellocchio in Kidnapped. He's 83 years old. We have this range of filmmakers from their 20s right up until 90. Yeah, Italy lives really well with its older generation. You know, we're into the experience of wisdom and the masters.
Kidnapped is an interesting movie anyway. I mean, tell us about the story of that.
Oh, my God. It's a true story about a little boy growing up in a Jewish family, in a really well-to-do Jewish family in Bologna. And he's sick, and his housemaid or the nursemaid secretly baptizes him into the Christian faith. And there is a law in the Vatican that says that a Christian child, a baptized child, must grow up in a Catholic context. And so the Pope comes after this child and kidnaps him. And it is unbelievably nail-biting and gripping as a film. The performances are out of this world. You know, we were just talking about a man who's 83 directing a film. I don't think a younger director could have made a film of the grandeur, the sort of epic costume drama with these gigantic themes of Christianity and Judaism and religion. You know, it takes the wisdom and maturity of age to tell a story like that. I can't recommend that film enough.
I can't imagine a film more Italian than that. That seems a very Italian thing. As does a film called There's Still Tomorrow, which is famous for being the most popular film in Italy last year, beating Barbie and Oppenheimer.
This is my pick of the festival, because not only because it was popular, but I just love her style. Paola Cortellesi is kind of known as an actress and quite a comic actress in Italy. And she wrote, directed, and starred in this film. And she harks back to the neo-realist filmmakers like Rossellini and De Sica. But she's also really anachronistic with, you know, modern music. But it's a film about female emancipation in Italy and sort of the breakdown of the patriarchy. It's got themes like domestic violence in it, and yet it is done with such a beautiful touch, a light touch, that it became a cultural phenomenon in Italy. It sort of did what maybe Once Were Warriors or Boy did in New Zealand. You know, they're sort of films that the entire nation talks about, and everyone has to see these films.
In a way, one of the most fascinating things about the Italian Film Festival is that it reflects what is really going on in Italy as far as the audience is concerned. These are big hits over there, aren't they?
Absolutely. It kind of celebrates what makes us perfect and imperfect. Italians are wonderful at criticising themselves as much as celebrating, and cinema's brilliant at that. You know,
one of the exciting things about this festival, of course, is that finally your film comes out. This is the only film, we think, that was filmed in both Italian and Tereo. It's all subtitles, but it's Italian and Maori language.
Yes, it's a short film I made with the support of the New Zealand Film Commission about the Māori Battalion in Italy and the Italians meeting Māori for the first time. And it was set around Monte Cassino, which is the 80th anniversary of that tragic event, which New Zealand was right in the middle of. And so we made this little black and white film that also harks back to the neorealist filmmakers. And the pleasure of it is that it's entirely in Italian and Te Reo Māori, because the two characters don't share a common language. It's very much in the style of Italian films that it's both comic but also tragic at the same time, and often in the very same moment. And so we've taken it around the world to festivals, and and now I get to share it with New Zealanders in my own festival, which is a complete privilege. Yeah, we've put that before the film There's Still Tomorrow. They link up really beautifully.
What a great double feature. And the film is called Monga Casino, and I urge people to check that one out. Another filmmaker who gets featured in the festival is a guy called Nanni Moretti, who I don't know, but he's clearly a big deal in Italy. You've got three of his films up, haven't you?
Simon, you're in for a treat. Nanni Moretti's a legend in Italy. Americans refer to him as the Italian Woody Allen. I think he's a little bit more intellectual and a little bit more silly at the same time. He's been the president of the jury at Cannes. He's won the Palme d'Or. He's won the jury prize. He is a genuine auteur. And so I really wanted to celebrate Moretti because he's come out with a brand new film called A Brighter Tomorrow, but it harks back to these two other films from where he started 30 years ago in the 90s. Mm. And his first film that really put him on the world map was Caro Diario. So we've got this restored copy, and it is a film like no other film. It is so funny and charming, but also deeply philosophical and intellectual. You don't get that kind of filmmaking outside of Europe that much. He sort of plays a comic version of himself. Film director who's very self-obsessed, who's very self-deprecating, and we end up loving him as a character. But I really wanted to do a little retrospective on him.
There are over 20 titles, aren't there? 24, I think?
24 this year.
And of the titles that we haven't really touched on, would you like to pick one that you think might be otherwise overlooked?
I would say the other art film, which New Zealanders might be really interested in, is Grand Tour. It's a sort of an art film, but it's about the beginning of tourism. It's about when Northern European aristocrats had to travel to Italy to learn aesthetics so they could go back to their own country with a sense of refinement.
That's right. That was the big aristocratic English OE, wasn't it? It was the thing that you would all go to Italy to gain culture.
That's right. And you see the seeds of that culture still present today. I mean, it's kind of invented tourism. And Grand Tour uses first-person experiences of those people experiencing Italy. And I think New Zealanders will relate to that because you end up feeling like nothing's really changed in that respect.
Well, so when does it start? It's just about to launch in Auckland, isn't it, Paolo?
Yeah, we have seven cinemas in Auckland. We're starting on the 29th of April at the Silky Otter Cinemas in Ponsonby. And then we have a big gala opening night at the Bridgeway Cinema. And this year we've brought in a new cinema, the Lido in Epsom. We flood Auckland with Italianness, you know. The next after that, it goes to the Gubbett Brewster in New Plymouth, Napier and Havelock North in July, Palmerston North, Blenheim, Hamilton, Tauranga, Matakana. And then at the end of the year, in November, it sort of starts to come to its peak fruition at the Roxy and the Embassy in Wellington.
Oh, fantastic.
And then Dunedin. So it's a huge year of tiki touring around. It's a real community event, but it's like Italians presenting it to New Zealanders. So it's not really only geared for Italian community. It's very much to an international New Zealand audience.
Paolo Rotondo, director of the Italian Film Festival, which opens this week in Auckland before travelling all over the country. Google it, as they say, for details of when it comes to your town.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.